Good morning and welcome to Step Into the Light. We're your hosts. I'm Patty Sheen.
And I'm Jean L. Theory. Thank you for listening.
Together, we will introduce you to people who have found their way out of the dark shadows of life and back to light.
And those who, through various ministries and creative endeavors, lead others on their journey from darkness to light.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for joining us again. We are meeting today with Kathy O'Neill. Kathy grew up in Maine. She loves the Lord and his gifts of family, horses, and dogs, and walks on the beach. At the beach, she enjoys searching for beach glass and watching storms and waves crashing against the rocks. Wow, that is a beautiful visual. I love that. She is a teacher, a writer, and speaker who enjoys engaging children's and adults' hearts and hands to discover God and their own creativity through art, history, and nature. Kathy has taught all ages in Christian schools as well as church and homeschooling groups. She has written for The Quiet Hour, Light from the Word, Mature Living, Refresh Bible Study Magazine, Highlights, and Apple Seeds. She's also written for online blogs such as In the Quiver, a parenting blog, and Devo Kids. Kathy now lives in Colorado with her husband and a rescued corgi who likes to round them up and take them on walks. Thanks for being here, Kathy.
Thank you for having me.
Kathy, hi, this is Patty. I also wanted to welcome you to the show, and I would like to kick us off with our first question here. If you would, tell us a bit about your background as a teacher and your current role.
Okay. I majored in elementary education with concentrations in child and adolescent psychology in college. And my plan originally was to teach a few years and then go into counseling, school counseling. But through a series of experiences and things that I could never have planned, which I'll talk about later, I graduated with that degree and did teach, but I never went on to become a counselor. Instead, I found out I love teaching. My first year, I taught with an experienced kindergartner teacher, whom I learned a lot from, and found that I loved the challenge of making science and reading and math something interesting and fun for the kids to learn. Fairly soon, we moved from Maine to St. Louis for my husband to go to seminary. And there I began to teach fourth grade in a Christian school. And again, I just really, really enjoyed finding ways to make learning fun for the kids. It was a Christian school, so I also was able to teach Bible now and bring that into all the different things that I taught. And we just did tons of hands-on projects. We raised butterflies and praying mantises and then let them go. And we did lots of field trips because that's the year that you do state history. And it was Missouri, and they had a lot of things going on that we just enjoyed going to. The praying mantises were not as successful as the butterflies. They do things that praying mantises don't live or don't go through all three stages of metamorphosis, all four stages. They just do three, and so they have this egg sac. And we waited and waited and waited in spring for all the little baby praying mantises to come out, and they didn't come, and they didn't hatch. And finally, school was out, and I'm cleaning up my room, and all of a sudden, I look over at the aquarium, and a river of praying mantises, little teeny ones, were coming out of the egg sac. And I'm racing around school trying to find people who would take them. Because they're very helpful in the environment. They eat a lot of, bad bugs. But I'll never forget that particular experience. But it was part of teaching that I loved. And eventually, my husband took a church in Oklahoma, and I moved up to middle school, fifth grade through eighth grade. I was terrified. I really didn't think I was ready for middle school, but I found that I loved their energy, their enthusiasm. And it was just lots of fun. Eventually, we left Oklahoma, went back to the Northeast, and he took an associate position at a large church there, and I applied to a K-12 Christian school. They had a couple openings, class teachers, But they looked at my resume and they saw all this art. And they said, what we really need right now is a K-12 art teacher. And I went, oh, really? I never thought about doing that. But I prayed about it, and the Lord seemed to be leading me to go ahead and say yes. And I'll tell you, that was, I spent 11 years teaching art there, K-12, and it was the most fun I ever had. God put my teaching skills, my love of kids and him together with the art that I had. And that's kind of what I've done ever since. We did eventually, just that we're experiencing difficulties, but I continue to teach art in homeschool groups and church groups. And my other love, which is Christian history, I also taught to some women's groups and did some Bible studies there. So it's been kind of a long road that the Lord has taken me on, but it's always been teaching, and I've enjoyed it very much. And we're now in Colorado, and I teach part-time now. I teach in teach art to elementary students in a Christian school here.
So, Kathy, you have a very specific mission for the work you do with children. What inspired that? And tell us a bit about what it is, and then what inspired it, and has it had an impact on your writing?
Sure. I firmly believe that there is no place in this world, no part of the universe, that you can't see God's hand working in some way through creation, through his preservation and care of creation. And I see that especially for myself in art and history and nature. And so I always want, when I'm teaching, to help children and adults to also see that, to see his hand through those in those areas. As far as my teaching, my writing, no matter what I'm teaching, I try to bring that aspect into what I'm doing. If I'm teaching or if I'm writing, I'm always giving, how does this area that, or this story or this art piece show God's hand? How can we see God in this? And how can I help others to see him and to see his wisdom and his creativity and his care and love?
Very good.
Kathy, I just wanted to share here, and I don't know if this is something that would interest you, but I'm always pitching this. I work with I'm a member of the VFW Auxiliary Veterans of Foreign Wars, and we have various contests that we offer to students that puts them in the market for very lucrative scholarships if they make it up the line, you know, from local to state to national. And one of those contests is called Patriotic Art. Students can enter that through any VFW post. And the other one is called Illustrating America. Now, Patriotic Art is for the older kids, and Illustrating America is for the little kids. So I just thought I would throw that out there. And when I put information about the show on there, I'll go ahead and put the website for that. So it's just thought it might be something that you would like to promote to, you know, folks that you know, students that you know, and teachers.
Yeah, sure. That would be wonderful. I'd be glad to do that. Thank you for telling me about it.
Definitely. Well, you post blogs with various art projects. What do you want readers to gain from your activities?
Well, for most of the school year, I do series of posts. I start off with an artwork by a particular artist, and I tell about it a little bit and give a little information about it and the artist, and then generally suggest some ways that parents and children together or separately can have fun looking at the painting and enjoying it and learning about it, which is also helpful if people go to art museums. And then the next post is a devotion that's related in some way to that artwork. And then I do a third post of an art activity, and a fourth post, finally, that may or may not be related. It might have It might be an interview with an author, children's author usually, or it might be related books and links to museums or something that go with that artwork. So again, with that, just as I'm doing when I'm in person, I want to help people who read the blog, either as parents working with children or older children, to see that God can be seen in all of these areas. There's absolutely nothing in the universe that doesn't say, God is great, God is wise, God is creative, God is loving and cares for his creation. And I just, so through those posts, through that progression, I'm hoping that's what it's saying. And my newsletter, I try to do the same thing. I really want to show that about God, but I also want to, in presenting activities that children can do, sometimes with parents' help, to help adults and parents discover their own creative gifts that God has given each one of us, whether it's in art or some other subject. We're all creative because we have been created by God.
Absolutely. And Kathy, I love your blogs, so I look at them regularly as they come up. But is there a particular grade that you target? Because you've taught K through 12, but it's very different, right? Doing the elementary types of art projects versus more advanced. Do you have a variety, or do you target a particular age?
I would say that it's probably targeting mostly elementary, either parents helping younger ones or older elementary. I love teaching the older ones, but when you're getting to junior high and especially high school, then they're getting much more into, you know, learning to paint with oil paints. They are learning to take their drawing skills to a higher level. Because often in high school, once they reach high school, they're thinking that maybe that's, you know, what they want to do as
sure.
a career. So
right.
It doesn't lend itself quite as well to online sorts of things. At least it hasn't for me. I teach at this point. I'm teaching just elementary art, and I really enjoy it. I love their enthusiasm, their creativity.
Sure. Well, and that must be why I enjoy it too, because I think that's about the level at which I peak. So it's very fun for me.
I promise you that if I had the opportunity to show you, and hopefully I will in our workshop coming up next November, that it's like any other skill. It can be learned. It might not become a Rembrandt, but
sure.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and Kathy just alluded to, and Patty, you might be looking forward to this as well if you saw the sneak peek or the newsletter, but we are ACFW Colorado Springs chapter is going to host Kathy as an instructor in November, and we've got a little art project that we'll be doing. So we're looking forward to that. So a little plug for our group there.
Nice.
Yeah.
All about creativity. Yeah.
Yes. So,
Kathy, I'd like to follow up with a question real quick along the same vein. Speaking of creativity, how do you feel about, how can I say this? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm relating back to a conversation I just had with a friend of mine, and somehow we got on the subject of art, and this person mentioned, have you ever heard the song Flowers Are Red?
No, I don't think I have.
Okay, apparently that song is written, is performed by the man who did Cats in the Cradle. Remember that song from way back?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyway,
yeah,
the premise of that song is, I've never heard the song myself, but apparently a child is coloring flowers, and he's coloring them different colors. And his teacher comes over and says, "You can't do that. Flowers are red."
Mm.
And it talks about how all of his life he is stifled in his creativity because as a young person, he was taught that, no, there are certain conventions that you have to stick to. You can't ever step out of the box. So my question is, and we discussed this a little bit too, what is your feeling about changes in art education? Do you think there is as much emphasis on art in education as there was back, say, when I was going to school? 50 years ago or more?
Well, I was going to school a long time ago, too. I'm not sure, and I'm not teaching, in public school at this point and haven't for quite a long time. So I don't know what's happening there other than sometimes by hearsay. I do believe that there are basics that children need to learn, some principles of design and some things about art that teach them about patterns and colors. Some colors are warm, some colors are cool. But
yes.
From those basics, they need to be able to then take those basics and with their own creativity, enjoy making art. And that's always been my premise when I first started teaching art back when I had not a clue that I was going to do that, and God led me that way. I walked into a program that actually was a non-existent program. It was there, and someone had been teaching it, but they really hadn't given much thought to it. And I remember that the principal said, "We want art to be fun again." I went,
"Yes."
"Oh, okay." And I agreed. I agreed art needed to be fun again. But at the same time, I was a classroom teacher. Kids come in, sit down at a desk. We did a lot of moving around and hands-on stuff, but, they sit at desks, and when I'm talking, they were quiet. So he kind of made me swing the other way, where I thought, sounds like anything goes. So I didn't do some basics, and I didn't enforce some of the things that, kids just normally need to be polite and listen and that sort of thing. And I had chaos for a little bit, and then I kind of stepped back and I said, "Lord, I think you've called me to this, but I feel like I'm really, struggling here and don't know exactly what I need to do." Because I'd taken a lot of art classes. I took a lot of how to teach classes too, way back, and it seemed like I couldn't at first put them together. But the Lord showed me how to do that gradually. So I do firmly believe that there are basics, as I said, that children need to learn. But that doesn't mean you tell them, "No, you can't go here with that basic you learned. Here's a pattern. Here's how we make patterns." But then you take that and you come up with your pattern and the colors that you want in that pattern and the lines that you want in that pattern and what you do with that pattern, whether you put it on because you're interested in fabrics and design, clothing design, or whether you use it for furniture but there's lots of ways that we can use patterns, and there's lots of ways that we can branch out from those basics. I also used to take, since I taught all the way through 12th grade, and I knew somebody who was in head of the art department at a local newspaper, the Albany newspaper, and I would take a group of seniors down to visit him each year. And of course, by that time, computers were becoming much more prevalent. And we had computers in school, but they were still mostly just for kids to write and that sort of thing. And so they weren't in the art room yet. And I remember asking him one time, and I'm saying, "Okay, I don't have the facilities or the money at this point to, go ahead and teach these students how to do art online." And he said, "That's okay. If they're learning the basics, they can learn the technology that they need for art on, technology online, on computers, really easily, no problem." So again, he kind of corroborated what I was thinking. That was the basics were there, but then from there, children can branch out and need to.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing that. I just thought I'd throw that in there because, like I said, I just had a discussion with a friend before we came on the show, and I thought, I'll ask Kathy about that. So thank you.
Sure. Yeah. It's a difficult subject for people, and there's certainly some modern art and other types of art that we as Christians don't always want endorse.
Mm-hmm.
On my blog, the art is always going to be something that's completely appropriate for any age. But yeah, things are changing, not only in pretty much every field, aren't they?
Yeah,
they are.
So, Kathy, what art mediums do you prefer to work in? And if you have a favorite, and which do you find most likely to reach children?
I love to draw. That's always been a favorite of mine. And once you get to the high school, when students are learning, different types of mediums, clay and oil painting and those things, I'm competent, but I can give them the basics, but I know that once they get to college, they're going to learn, if that's what they do, or at school, they're going to learn a lot more. And it's different for different ages. So the elementary, there's a different way of teaching them to look and enjoy art than you would with high school students. High school students were going more with the classic ways of teaching them to draw and paint, whereas in elementary school, it's you've got to work with their age and their abilities, and so we're talking about line families instead of negative space, which I would do in high school. So it's a little hard to say because you're going to do different things with different age groups, but it's pretty much all comes down to learning to be a better observer. I would say 95% of art and being an artist is learning to look carefully at things, which is also wonderful as a Christian because you begin to see, the variety and the intricacy of creation. So I don't know that I could say I have a specific medium for children. It's kind of what
appeals to them.
What appeals to them, what works for different projects that we're doing. My aim for elementary is, one of them, is to introduce them to different mediums so that they're learning a little bit about drawing. They're learning the basics of drawing. They're learning the basics of clay. They're learning the basics of some other mediums so that if they want to, as they get older, they have a little bit of knowledge they're already to build on.
Ladies, we'll go to a short break here. This is a time when I remind listeners that you are listening to Step Into the Light with hosts Patty Sheen and Jean Alfieri. Our guest today is Kathy O'Neill. Kathy is an art teacher. She engages children and adults' hearts and hands to discover God and their own creativity through art, history, and nature. And we have talked a lot about that very thing for the first part of the show. We've got more to come, but in the meantime, I would like to remind you that if you would like to listen to this show again, you can go to my website, which is pattysheen.com. That is spelled pattisheen.com. There you'll find a link to the show. This episode and other most recent episodes are found right on that homepage. To explore archived episodes that are further back, access the Blog Talk Radio tab at the top of the page, and that's where you'll find a link to all of the episodes we have aired to date. Also, under each show, there is a more information tab that gives you links to contact information for each of our guests. So for today's show, you will find link to Kathy's website and any other social media that she may have. So with that, let's get back to our interview here with Kathy. Kathy, as you know, on this show, the premise of Step Into the Light is leading others out of darkness. Is there a time when you journeyed from darkness and found your way back to light?
Yes. It would be really what led me to the Lord in the very beginning. And I guess I would have to go back a little bit to when I was in college and taking education classes and planning that. I had it all planned out, going to teach a while, become a counselor, and that was it. But then the end of my sophomore, it was planned, but I wasn't that sure I really wanted to do it. I was still kind of iffy. I'm not sure how you can have a plan and yet not be sure about it, but that's the way it was.
Oh, yeah. I think that happens with a
lot.
Oh,
yeah.
Especially when you're in your early 20s.
Right.
And then the end of my, fairly early in college, but I fell in love. And at the end of my sophomore year, I got married. And I continued to... My husband had 1 year left, and I had 2 years left, of course. We went, both of us, back to college, and my junior year. But then I got pregnant. And so by the end of my junior year, still not that sure what I wanted to do, and pregnant and having a baby, I dropped out of school. Seems kind of stupid now, being so close, but... I was in love. And now I can look back and see that the Lord had another plan. So that was, kind of the where we were. And within a couple of years, I had another child, and we had bought a farm, a small farm in Maine, with about 10 acres, big garden, some goats and pigs and chickens and ducks and occasionally some litters of kittens and puppies. And we were very busy. I also started a preschool with a friend because we were in a very rural area and there wasn't much of that around. And I began proofreading for a small educational publisher. So we were very busy. We had wood stoves that needed constant feeding, along with kids and animals that needed constant feeding. And it was a busy time. And my husband was traveling so that he was gone every once in a while. So it was kind of everybody else at that time of life, when you've got little kids, you're very, very busy. But as the children went to school, those first couple of years, I thought, okay, I have been brought up to think that, women's lib. I was not a Christian, and I grew up in that time, and it was time for me to get on with my career. And through the proofreading and a few art classes that I was taking just for fun at a local college, I thought, I think I'd like to work for this publisher. And I was doing a little illustrating for them, too. And so I did. I went to work in their art department. It was before computers. It was all cut and paste and nothing original from me. But it was a start, I thought. But then about 6 months in, I began to realize, boy, I don't know. This is 9 to 5. I had an hour's commute both ways because we were in a rural area. And my kids were still young. I still had all the goats and pigs and chickens and ducks to feed, not to mention the stove. And I just began to feel overwhelmed. My kids were spending too much time with a babysitter. I was torn. When I was at work, I was worried about them. When I was at home, getting things done at work. And I began to have anxiety attacks. And I'd never had these before, and they were terrifying to me. Even though I had taken a lot of psychology, when things happen to you, you think, what is this? What's wrong with me? It got so bad that I quit my job. But then, because I had been brought up to think I could do it all, I felt like a failure. The anxiety attacks worsened. I got to the point where it was hard to do the things that I needed to do, even at home and not working. I did go to a counselor. They helped me to see that I was a perfectionist. I'm not sure how I missed that, but I had. And expecting a lot of myself. And, and also learned a little bit more about anxiety attacks that I probably wouldn't die from them. But it still wasn't helping a lot. And I still felt like such a failure that I couldn't do kids, take care of the farm and all of that stuff that, women always have dealt with, I think. And so I sort of felt lost and without a purpose. It just wasn't getting better. It was getting worse. One night when my husband was gone, I felt especially bad. And I said, God, if you're there, I really need your help. It was not with in much faith, because I really did say, God, if you're there. Soon after that, a friend who knew I was struggling told me about a pastor in town who was doing a series of sermons on the family. And so I began to attend the classes. I attended a seeker's class, and he was the first minister I'd had for, and I had gone to some youth groups as a kid, but you know, my parents weren't religious or going to church at all, and so it was just kind of a here and there, hit or miss, and I'd never run across anybody who had been able to answer some of the questions that I had about Christianity and God, but he was able to. He was able to listen without feeling defensive and discuss these things with me, and he had a very biblical view of the family, but he also never said that women couldn't work, which was one question that I asked him one time. I said, okay, are you against women working outside the home? He said, no, but your family you do have to get your priorities in order. You know, God first and then your family and then work, if that's what the Lord is calling you to. So he led me to the Lord, and there was not an immediate cessation of the anxiety attacks, but they did begin to ease as I began to get the priorities of my life in balance, putting the Lord first and then my family. And I was content to stay home at that point. I kind of made peace with the fact that that's perhaps what God was calling me to. Then about a year later, it seemed to, my husband was talking about seminary, and I'm thinking, well, you know, at this point I have no degree. I don't know how I'd support you. And so I went back to my college advisor and said, what can I finish the quickest in? I have education classes, many. I have lots of psychology, and I have lots of art. And he looked at his thing, and he said, education. And my heart kind of sank because I didn't think I wanted to be a teacher anymore. That's not where I thought I wanted to go. But I said, okay, at this point seems to just be calling me to finish. And so that's what I did. And I faced student teaching, which had always terrified me. And I loved it. I loved teaching. At this point, I did finish an education, as I said, and I did the student teaching. And then that's when I took a job with the kindergarten teacher. And at this point, my children were a couple years older, and I was teaching in the same district as they were in, and our hours were similar, and this time it was right. It was the right time for me to step outside the home and take a job, which for me was teaching. And I talked about all of that before. So it was just interesting how the Lord took me in some ways back to what I had studied but had kind of rejected. And then when it was time and when I had my priorities right, he put me in a situation where I found that I had the help I needed and it was the right place and everything else to really enjoy teaching. And so it was a very dark time in my life. When I think of it, I often think of Rembrandt's painting called The Storm on the Sea of Galilee. And in that painting, Jesus is asleep at the back of the boat, and the disciples are just like ants all over the rest of the boat. Some are trying to trim the sails, and some of them are bailing, and there's one being sick over the side. He's just so worried, and the storm's bad, so he's sick. And I think that's what I was doing. I was doing all those things to try to stay afloat in this time of anxiety and darkness in my life. And I finally realized that, like the disciples, I needed to reach out to Jesus, or, well, he was actually reaching out to me, but I needed to say, Lord, I need your help. I can't do this on my own. And he did. Psalm 81:7 says, and this is a paraphrase, I called in trouble and he answered me. And then in Psalm 18, verse 16 through 19, it says, he reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, my fears, my own fears, from my foes who were too strong for me. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. What I learned is that I'm not changing. I'm still a perfectionist. I'm still someone who wants to do well in every part of life that I have. And so I'm often going to get stressed, and occasionally I get pretty anxious. Having survived a period of a lot of anxiety attacks, I know that they don't kill me, and I know that the fear of them is worse than the anxiety attack itself. And part of learning to deal with them is knowing that God is with me and has always been with me through those. And he can help me when I'm realizing, or when I realize that I'm getting too stressed, too trying to do too much. Time to step back. Time to look at what God wants me to do and try to follow the path that he has for me instead of trying to do everything. And I think that's such a common thing among women, that we're trying to be all things to all people, a good wife, a good mom, a good daughter and grandmother, you know, all of those things, and also work. It's hard for women these days to try to do all of those things. And it's very stressful. And I know that in my life, it was a hard time, but it led me to the Lord.
Thank you for sharing that, Kathy. I think many people will get a lot out of that just in listening to your experience, because there is so much wisdom there. And it's interesting when you can look back and see it, what you couldn't see when you're in the middle of it all, right? Because you're just buried by it when it's happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Going to say, Jean, how many times have we heard people on the different interviews that we have done that say, you know, I couldn't figure out why I was doing this at a certain point in my life. And years later, I look back and said, oh, that's what that was all about, Lord. So
right.
We've all had that experience to a degree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So exactly. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
And you're talking into my life, Kathy, because just this morning I went, God, I don't know how I'm going to do all this, so I'm just going to let you do it all. That's all I got at this point.
Yes, I think many of us are like that.
I can relate to you too, Kathy, because when I got married, when I moved out here from New York, I was working with the VA and transferred with the VA. And my big plan was to travel the whole country. There were 177 VA hospitals back then. So, man, you know, I was going to see the whole country. And, well, I got as far as Los Angeles, Colorado. And that's where I've stayed for 45 years because, like you, I fell in love. So
it's a wonderful
part
thing,
of our plan.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is.
Wouldn't trade it.
Whether you do travel or whether you stay in one place, God takes you on such amazing adventures when you listen to him and follow the path that he has for you. You know, it's,
amen. Amen to that.
Yeah, really.
So, Kathy, you also compose devotionals for children. Where did the motivation to touch children's hearts in this way begin?
Well, it probably actually began with devotions, faculty devotions at the school where original school where I began teaching art. We had to do, we rotated devotions in the morning, and each teacher, you know, was on that rotation at some point. And what I always did was to take a painting and then look at it quickly and then take some spiritual insights from it. And I also did that in classes, although, you know, an art class is not a long time, and we were basically mostly doing studio art. I did develop a program for that school, K-12, where we were doing studio art, art appreciation, but also bringing in things, connections to the Bible and to subjects that kids had each year. And so I always tried to take a few minutes when I was introducing a new project with them to connect it in some way to God's Word. So I think it began there. Then when I started writing a few years ago, my first assignments were from devotionals, various devotionals, and I especially wrote quite regularly for the Quiet Hour for several years. And, you know, it starts with a story, and then you transition to a biblical lesson from that. And I found that so often I was using stories from art or from nature and history to introduce the lessons, that it just seemed to come naturally to me.
That certainly makes sense.
I had someone say recently that God will often show you as your life goes on. He was talking to writers, and he was saying sometimes when we first start writing, we don't know exactly what we want to write about. We may write about, we may write some fiction, we may write some nonfiction, we may try various things, but often through life, he gradually shows us what our passion is and what our skills are best used as. And I think that God has done that for me very much.
I like that. I find that true in my life too. That's beautiful.
So Kathy, with the techniques that you use, the way that you connect with a younger audience, how do you distinguish and tap into issues that children face with your art and with your teaching?
Well, to some extent, it's staying connected with children of the age that I'm writing to. And I hope that I continue to do that with my teaching. Sometimes it's hard to keep up with, all that's changing in kids' lives. And there's a lot that's there that wasn't there when I was growing up or even in my early teaching years. I follow a lot of children's books and authors' blogs, Christian and non-Christian, so that I try to stay up with what is important to them. The basics are always going to be their family, friendships, the fears that they have about succeeding with things, and those are always going to be there, but they kind of come out in different ways now that we're so much more online. But like art, those basics don't change. The last devotion that I just did on my blog was The Country School by Winslow Homer, and those children, when you look at the schoolroom, it's so totally different than what it is today. There's nothing on the walls. They've got just a few books. Some of the kids are barefoot. They're all different ages all together. And when I was introducing the painting itself in one post, I had suggestion that they compare and contrast the schoolroom today with all its computers and posters and color and books and everything with that room. But in my devotion, I said, despite the differences, those children are no different than you. They still have families, and they still may be up at night because of a thunderstorm. They may have had a fight with a best friend. They still get impatient with younger siblings. Those things never change. So keeping those things in mind, and so I try to use those as I look at a painting and think, how does this appeal to a child, and what can it teach a child about the things that they're dealing with?
Very good.
Yep. So, Kathy, what is the next project you're focusing on? What can we expect from you next?
Well, I am working on a book called Art and Devotions for Little Hearts and Hands. And it's a little bit like my blog. It's an art. It doesn't have the great art but aspect to it, but it has an art project that children and parents can do together, and then a devotion that is related to that. And so I've been taking that to different people in the industry and talking to them about it, and had some encouraging words, and so I'm looking forward to hearing more about that. And I will definitely continue to write for those online blogs and magazines that I've been writing for, and I'd like to try to get a little more involved in homeschooling communities and possibly do some teaching there. And I will definitely continue to teach in the Christian school that I teach at, because that's one of my first loves, to be with the kids and see their creativity and their joy in creating.
How exciting. Well, keep us posted on that new book, Kathy. That sounds wonderful.
I will.
Yes, definitely. Well, Kathy, it's been a joy having you with us today. Thank you so much for sharing your perspective on art. Art is not my forte, so it was nice to learn some of the things that you shared. And I think it's wonderful that you encourage creativity in our young people. Goodness knows we could use that, and it's great that we learn to model the creator through teachers like you. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed being on here and talking to you both, and you do a great job. It's been fun. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy, for your time. And I agree with Patty. Everybody could use a little more encouragement. It doesn't matter what your age. So thank you for being that in the world.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Listeners, in closing, we all encounter dark times in our lives to one degree or another. During those difficult times, strive to seek the light, knowing that when we allow it to shine through, it is so much brighter than we remembered. Thank you so much for listening today. Check out pattysheene.com, that's pattisheene.com, to find this episode and all the episodes we have recorded to date. Under each show, there is a more information tab that gives you links to contact information for each of our guests. So for today's show, you will find links to Kathy's website and social media. Until next time, God bless you.
There is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a